It's good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to thank this time. I don't have much time. I know we're in the evening service, but I want to give this time to thank my church family for coming out tonight and worshiping with me and hearing a portion of God's word. I want to thank leadership for giving me this time to speak to you all tonight and have the confidence in me that I will do so according to the Lord's word. So I won't spend much time, but I was trying to figure out the way to open up tonight, and I couldn't think of anything. So we all familiar of being on the term saved by the bell, right? Being saved by the bell. And I know if you're a 90s or grew up in the 90s like me, that was just a TV show we watched, you know, or a reason we just made it in class just in time. We were saved by the bell. But actually, it comes from a term they used around when the plague was going on, and people were dying rapidly. Thank you, brother. People were dying rapidly, and a lot of people were just in comas and really weren't dead. So they were burying these people alive. A lot of people were being buried alive during the plague. So what they would do is they would hook a string up from the casket, and at the top, on the surface, would be the bell. So when the people would wake up, they could ring the bell, and they would be then saved by the bell. And actually, that's how the term working the graveyard shift came about. Because a lot of those people ring the bell, and it'll be midnight or after hours, and people would be asleep. So people would actually work the graveyard shift to listen for the bell. So we have taken those terms over time, and we use them to our own meaning now. We don't go by the same meaning, but a lot of that same concept has went into play as far as scripture went. We use the term fellowship, and it's, of course, my title is True Fellowship. We use the term fellowship when we want to have a get-together or something like that. And fellowship is mentioned 16 times in the Bible. I use Bible Gateway. It's on the internet website. I'm not good with scripture memorizing, so I kind of know what to say. So you can put the word in, and it'll tell you every time it's said in the Bible. So that's how I come up with that. Fellowship is mentioned 16 times, but I don't want that to be confused with partakers. Fellowship and partakers is two totally different words, have two totally different meanings. Partakers is mentioned 32 times, just FYI, and for some reason, both of them combined are only mentioned 3 times in the Old Testament. I don't know, I'm just kind of a numbers guy, factual stuff like this, so that kind of stuck out to me. But to not confuse the two, one is a noun, which is something, the idea, which is we have fellowship. And one is, I would think, is a verb, meaning the action, something we actually partake in. We can see an example of that in 1 Timothy chapter 5:22, when Paul is telling him not to engage and not be a partaker of evil. Also in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4:13, when we're going to be a partaker of Christ's suffering, not necessarily the beating that Christ has took, but we are going to suffer as a Christian. We are going to have to partake in suffering as a Christian. So tonight, I want to challenge our thinking. I do understand the modern use of the words, how to change the meaning. That we actually did a lesson in that in the Yams class when we talked about pride. And pride is one of those words we need to get out of our vocabulary totally, because God, he resisted the proud. So to help us out with some of those, we can replace pride with pleasure, joy, delightment, gratification, fulfillment, satisfaction, a sense of achievement. We do not have to use pride. Like, I come across people, and especially dealing with sports, they say the basketball gods or the football gods. Like, there's no basketball gods. There's no football gods. That's incorrect. So, or karma, or how karma dictates an outcome rather than God. Like, we kind of undermine what God and what scripture says when we bring in these worldly ideas that we can take pride or we can take football gods. So that we're undermining God. So I'm not saying that by using fellowship that we are in error, but I just want to try to change our focus or change the narrative or how we would use it. That fellowship, true fellowship, is not something that we do, but it's something that we have. True fellowship is not something we do. It's not an action. It's not a meeting or a get-together, but it's actually something we have. We have fellowship by sharing a common interest, which is Christ. That's what brings us together. That is our bond. I opened up this this kind of study when I was teaching in a high school class, and I kind of scratched the surface on it, but being able to speak on it tonight, I was able to dig in deep. So I wanted to open up in a, John, 1 John, the book of 1 John. And as I mentioned before, fellowship is mentioned 16 times in Scripture. But 1 John, just chapter 1 by itself, mentions it four. Like a quarter of the times, it's mentioned in that one book. So, was John trying to show us something? A more meaningful, more powerful work in the ministry by enlightening Christians what the true meaning of fellowship was? More than just a get-together with your friends or who you actually like or sharing some, being more a part of something, being sharing a part of Christ together, because he first shared with us. As the Hebrew writers teach us in Hebrews 2, chapters 9 and 10, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, bringing many sons. See, Christ first shared death for every man so he can bring many sons. That's why we share with him, because he first shared with us. I want to look at fellowship, at the true meaning of fellowship, how Scripture deals with it. And I'm pretty sure Scripture is not talking about somebody barbecuing at their house. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm pretty sure fellowship is not cooking spoon, coon, and square. I didn't eat none of that. I'm sorry. I can't do that. That was a good for us to get together, but that's not really what Scripture meant when we were talking about fellowship, how when Paul traveled spreading the gospel in the book of Philippians, starting chapter 4, and say, notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning with giving and receiving only, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto the necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, Paul was going to church and providence to providence. He was trying to spread the gospel teaching, and people contributed because there were Christians being persecuted in Jerusalem, and Paul was trying to make sure these people were getting the help, the aid that they needed. So he was going out. He was going out into these cities and out to different churches, and people who were most of the time were very poor or didn't have much, they would freely give. See, we can see fellowship in this time that people, they were contributing to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the preaching, what Paul was doing. In verse 18, he said, but I have all, and I am bound, I am full. People was giving so much, Paul said, I am full, but he was full because of the faith that of the common bond they had with the fellowship, but because these people were relieving. They were putting an aid to the saints. But the more important part to me was these people probably would never see these people that they was giving to. So here is evidence: just by sharing the gospel message, we can have fellowship with brothers and sisters all over the state, all over the nation, all over the world. So fellowship, the true fellowship, does not require proximity. It does not require crossing. In Highland Heights, I have seen us do wonderful job of outreaching the people and the relief and the giveaways and in the arms ministry and trying to keep people back in the fold and trying to keep people in the body, going out and evangelizing and trying to save the lost and all the other ministries. And I'm sure visitors, if we have any visitor tonight, I'm sure you go to work and you go to school and you involved in works and you probably give back to the community and you probably go to outreach programs and you probably help clean up. But our fellowship is based on the foundation of Christ. Our fellowship is based on the foundation of Christ, what Paul says in Philippians 1:5, for your fellowship in the gospel is from the first day until now. Now, actions are important. I know we said proximity, but the actions are important when involved in fellowship, really. Can we get 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 16? Yes, let's not get confused that we can share with these events we do. We have parties, we have certain type of get togethers, and that's all good. But let's make sure our actions are aligned with what God's word is. What does the scripture tell us?
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Read.
The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
So Paul is telling them, like tonight we came in and visit. If you are visiting with us, you've seen we it's not the first Sunday, but we still broke the bread. We still drank the blood because this is what we do. That is what brings us together. So Paul is telling them, hey, don't we do this for the communion of Christ? Don't we break the bread for the communion of Christ? Keep reading, read them.
For we being many are one bread and one body.
We'll be many in this place. We are in one body, and we're still going to partake on the same actions. Go ahead, read them.
For we are all partakers of that one bread.
Read.
Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?
Read.
What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?
You can sacrifice anything you want to God, huh? I mean, you know, you can go to some churches, and they'll have little kids running up and down the aisles looking like little ghosts and stuff, and you're gonna have a first lady seat, and you're gonna have the parking spots, and you're gonna have the big chairs behind them, and you can do anything you want, right? That's what Paul is pretty much telling them. You want to partake with us in the breaking of bread, but then you want to go over here to the altar and do what they want to do. So you can't visit with us, partake in the communion, then next week go down the street and don't take no communion, don't feel no way about it. That's what Paul is telling them. You can't go down there and don't feel no way about it if you're going to do this with us. Read them.
But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God.
He said they sacrifice that to devils. Yeah, we commune this week. We broke bread and drank blood this week. If you're not doing this week, that next week, you're sacrificing the devils. I think Paul is being pretty direct when he say that. I know we say that in 2018, we're called mean and we're called bullying. You know, but Paul is being pretty direct when he's being bold, standing up for Christ. Read them.
And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils.
Read.
Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils.
And the very next verse is what gets me. Read. What the very next verse say?
Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?
Are we stronger than he? Are we stronger than the Lord? Are we stronger than the Lord that we can do anything we want to do? That we can go, you know, even in the body. We have some congregation, they want to beatbox in the mic and stuff like that. Are we stronger than God that we can authorize that without his permission? I don't think so. See, the thing is, you have to make that decision within yourself. Wherever you want to worship and praise that's fine. But what Paul's saying is, we're going to do it by the scripture. What Church of Christ saying is, we're going to do it by the scripture. What the true fellowship saying is, we're going to do it by the scripture.
Amen. Amen.
We shouldn't undermine or have false sacrifice or have false worship when God, he gave the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was with the men and wrote the scripture. They gave in detail how we should conduct ourselves. So as we've seen in Philippians, how true worship does not involve us being next to each other in proximity. And we can see true worship in Corinthians is actually carrying on the word of God even when we are not around each other. So I'm trying to draw when we're trying to get to 1 John 1. What I'm trying to get at is what true worship really is. Let's get to 1 John 1, and let's go back over there. Let's go back over 1 John 1. Chapter 1, starting at verse 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we speak in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
John says we have fellowship with him. God is not in our proximity. When we invite people to these fellowships, God is not in our proximity. John said we have fellowship with him. Are we, like in the Philippians, are we giving how we have fellowship with God? See, I'm thinking like, why, John? Why are you writing this to us? I mean, I'm sure John had his own congregation in mind when he wrote this. But also, John, on the things to come, on this unilateral relationship, our fellowship is contingent on our relationship with God. Fellowship with the saints is based on relationship with God. Not a meeting, but believing in a gospel. What John say in verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen. It is based on which we have. When we are taught the gospel, and we are, and Brother Brooks does a masterful job of illustrating it. I'm not that good yet. Our sins separate us from God. When we have been taught and we have seen and what we have heard, that's what brings us together. Fellowship with God requires doing his will. We cannot have fellowship with God without doing his will. Matthew 7:21. So, people throw around this word fellowship loosely. That looks like to me, fellowship is actually conditional. You can fall out of fellowship. You can fall out of fellowship. So, family and friends, I want to emphasize. I'm not. We have certain time. We have Veterans Day. When veterans who have served, they get together and they do stuff with each other, and they eat, and restaurants give them stuff. We have Memorial Day, when people who have died, or not even people who have served, but people in your family, might get together and go to the gravesite and just visit grandma or visit pawpaw, or you might have something, a memorabilia that's tied to this person. You have fraternities or sororities. They all get together to do certain things, whatever it is they do. But true fellowship with saints is based on biblical. True fellowship with the saints is scriptural, like in Acts 2:42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Steadfastly in the apostles. The doctrine was the teaching, the word, and fellowship. Not just the fellowship by itself. The fellowship by itself is this superficial thing that we're going to get together. We're just having coffee. That's pretty much all it is. But they continue in apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking the bread and in prayers. See, we all have people in our life that we have come across. Even the disciples had it. In Luke, I found this funny, in Luke chapter 5 and 10, we're not to get there right now, but even when Jesus was calling them, they were partners fishing together. They already had some sort of fellowship together. They was already partners because they was fishing. So we do have partnerships. We do have fellowships outside of here. And not to negate that, that's very important on relationship building, friendship building, character building. That's very important. But that's not the fellowship that we share in Christ scripturally. Amen. John had a mission. When he was writing this, I'm convinced John had a mission. What was John's mission? John's mission is not, it wasn't based on time spent together. We understand that. In verse 3, that you fellowship with us. John's mission was that you fellowship with us, to his congregation, to the people who were coming after him, to you and me today. John wrote this for you and me today. He wrote this for my grandkids, that they can fellowship with him. Why? His purpose for doing that, verse 4, that your joy may be filled. His purpose is for bringing you to this, his fellowship that he's talking about, that your joy may be filled. And what did he say in verse 3? That his fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Christ. So it wasn't just John's fellowship. My fellowship is with the Father and Christ, which is the Word. So that's why you can't have the fellowship without the Word. That's what makes it true fellowship. Without the Word is just people kind of meeting together, you know? So, 5 points on why John, his mission is that they fellowship with us. His purpose, that they joy may be filled. The 5 points why he was doing it, verse number 5, God is light. God is light. First point, God is light. That's what everybody needs to know tonight. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Point number 2, we must be honest. Verse 6, we must be honest. If we want to have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie. It's easy to say we have fellowship with him, but it takes that walk. It takes that walk to confirm that. We can all say, we can walk outside right now, meet an atheist on the street, and he can say it, but his walk should determine that. It will show his fellowship with God. So if we walk in the darkness, we lie. That's as small as that word is, it's a very powerful word. That's a very powerful word, man.
Yes, sir.
Third point, verse 7 and 8. If we walk in the white season, like we have fellowship with one another. You see how the unilateral relationship comes back? If we walk in the light, which God is the light, we have that fellowship with one another. If we in the light, we're with one another then. We can't be with one another and say we have God. Or we can't say we have God and not be one another. It's a unilateral relationship. If we say we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another. So we must live his word. Third point, we must live his word. So how do we walk in the light? How do we walk in the light? I'm sure that's a whole nother sermon, whole lectureship could be on there. How do we walk in the light? Does that necessarily say we're in perfection? No. But I think verse 9 clarifies that. We confess. John knew we was going to mess up. He wants us to be in his fellowship with him. He wants us to walk in the light, but let's be real about it. We're going to mess up. Just confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we must be humble. We must humble ourselves. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Over the studying over this, it's like every time I read it, I love that chapter more and more, because I see how it comes, and that's kind of why I wanted to deal with the whole chapter, because I see how it constantly plays itself out. We Christians are not commanded to fellowship. It's not nowhere in the world that we are commanded to fellowship, but we only exist in the fellowship with Christ. We cannot truly fellowship with God without having fellowship with his people. That's one of the contingencies of having true fellowship. We must get right with his people before we can be right with God. And as we stated earlier, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He did the ultimate sharing when he gave his life for us. Now that shouldn't be just, you know, belittled. That shouldn't be just whitewashed down. That should be taken to some understanding that we are lucky to be here. We are lucky to be on this side of life to where we can make the decision and confession Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's not make his beating go in vain. Amen, brothers and sisters. Let's continue to truly fellowship one another, staying in His word, walking in His light. When we mess up, confess and humble ourselves to live righteously. If you are visiting here with us tonight and you want to become a true fellowship, you want to fellowship truly, you've been visiting other places and you're not sure why y'all pastor do what he do. You're not sure why Rev do this. You're not sure why y'all come in. I understand. I wasn't either. But if you truly want to have true fellowship with Christians, we bid you all to come tonight. You have heard the gospel, how Jesus have died for you. You believe it. You repent. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we will baptize you today. That is true fellowship. You are with true fellowship. True fellowshippers. Thank you. We ask you all to come to stand tonight.